Good morning, West Liberty. I'm Anna Dean, and you're listening to WGLZ 91.5 FM. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal. This morning, I'm chatting with Bronwyn Barrera for an episode of our passionately vocal series, Distinctive Discussion. Bronwyn is a communications and marketing strategist living in Chicago, Illinois. Currently, she is Director of Marketing and Communications for the American Dental Hygiene Association. The two of us will be discussing her experiences as a communications professional before taking a break and then resuming to talk about her work with the ADHA. Bronwyn, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Anna. I'm well. Thank you for having me.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. All right, let's get started. So, how did you become interested in the field of marketing and communications?
Well, and I started my undergraduate journey kind of with the intent to study economics and journalism, maybe, you know, Adam Smith's proverbial invisible hand of a free market economy. But as I learned about markets and market behavior, I think, and the economics of supply and demand, it seemed very impersonal to me, right, for someone who's interested in the nature of individuals. So I discovered the influence of marketing communications on individual behavior and the end user, how someone interacts with your message and your brand, and it just felt a lot more immediate and at hand than that observing role of economics. So that's what I pursued.
That's interesting that you wanted to, you know, make it more personal rather than just, you know, a company putting out a message. You wanted to actually connect with the people that you're putting out the message for. That's interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
So where did you attend school, and what was that experience like?
Well, I was born and I grew up in Madison, Wisconsin, and my dad was a professor of humanities at the UW. Yeah, so the university environment is a very home to me. So kind of already be entrenched in that university community, I never really considered a different path than the UW-Madison. So I was lucky to be part of the first class of the UW Business School that passed through the new Granger Hall. And what made that really special, I think, for my particular class was having classes and peers together in a new building instead of kind of all over campus. But that's how it was prior. And I graduated with a BBA in marketing management and a certificate in international business, which I think is a major now. Anyway, it wasn't in the 90s.
I think so, yeah. I think I've heard of that.
Yeah. And then I worked for 5 years before attending graduate school in Chicago, where I'm based out of now. I finished my MBA at Northwestern's Kellogg Graduate of Management. I chose that program because of their strong reputation for marketing communications. The structure, I think, of graduate education for those who, you know, consider moving on, it's very group work focused, kind of the autonomy of how projects will run, who will work on what, the format you deliver in. It's very reflective of how work is done and evaluated, I think, in the workplace now. And I think that's very valuable.
I think so, too. I think that it's, you know, good to be able to have that hands-on experience as well.
Definitely. And working a few years before I went to graduate school made a huge difference.
That leads me into my next question. What was your first job in the field?
Well, prior to leaving Madison, I kind of pursued the intense interview process like any senior, I think, facing graduate school.
Definitely.
The job I landed brought me to Chicago working in customer service and then to Marcom. I was in the plastic lamination and packaging manufacturing industry. Not that the industry really mattered. I think my job in customer service had a greater impact on me than I think I realized at the time because I was talking to our customers, filling orders, processing returns, talking and, you know, traveling with sales reps and really learning about concerns and needs. And frankly, unbeknownst to me, I was really building a foundation of customer understanding that would ultimately be a really good guide in my Marcom role to develop campaigns and messaging and promotions that really spoke to the customer because I had, right?
Yeah.
I had spoken to them.
You were kind of like picking it up on the way and seeing what you could use later on.
Absolutely, and really not knowing that I was doing that. Yeah.
So what has been your favorite part of your career so far, would you say?
I think one of the bookish things that I've always liked about Marcom is kind of the integration of all elements of a campaign.
What would you, could you elaborate on that a little bit? What do you mean?
Absolutely. I think, you know, when you when you deliver messages and communications that resonate or that make someone feel something or take action, that takes education and training.
Definitely.
And so when a client gives you a message to share, like a list of product features, for example, and you can take that and alter the layout, focus on the impact or difference that that product or that item, that experience is going to make in someone's life, and that moves your client to say, I haven't thought about it that way, I think that's the reward and that's my favorite part.
I agree. That is a very, you know, interesting take on it, I think. All right. So do you think that the communications and marketing fields have changed since the introduction of social media?
So, yes. You know, I think social media was revolutionary, I think, for marketing communications.
I agree.
Kind of, yeah, the introduction and the integration of social media into what we do, it was not something to be ignored, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think at first it was just another channel for pushing a message out. It was a one-way street, right? Reaching out like another channel far beyond, however, the circulation of like an ad in a magazine, right? And you had followers. And these were people who literally chose to hear from you, right? That's like
mm-hmm.
That's like an opt-in, right? You opted in, and you had the world at your fingertips, speaking directly to each customer in their social feed. And that's very intimate, right? It's a very intimate relationship because you are speaking to that individual. And if you did it right, your followers spread the word for you, right?
Yes,
by sharing your feed, entertained, and it reflected who they are. But I think very quickly it became apparent that the most successful strategy was content. That's offering audiences something to interact with, to consume or watch or read, and inviting those reactions. And there's a risk there, right? For companies,
yes.
Social media comes with a risk, but social media is obligatory. You can't not be there. And it's a two-way street now, right? It's a direct link to consumers, but you have to be there in that space. And if they're unhappy, customers will let you know it, right?
Yeah. It's much more, you know, hands-on, and it's much more interactive. You know, you can actually speak face-to-face with the customers rather than just guessing, you know, how they feel.
Right, and it's very public, right?
Yes.
For everyone to see. And I think if someone's unhappy, it's very cathartic for them to let you have it, right, on social media. And
definitely.
And so it makes companies think a lot more cautious about their practices, about their reputation, about their social responsibility,
mm-hmm.
and also how they respond to criticism about the things that are important to their core customers. So I think as a MarCom professional, I happen to be in the association and membership sector,
mm-hmm.
it's a direct link to our members, and it helps them to feel on a daily basis that they are connected to something that brings meaning and purpose to their work and their profession and connects them to a larger community.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really something that was only possible through in-person meetings before, and now it's really part of our everyday through social media.
It is very cool how that has just come into being in the last 20 years and, like, how it's so much a part of our everyday lives now and how
yeah.
we can use it in our profession, you know?
Truly, yeah, definitely.
So what is one piece of advice that you would give to MarCom students?
Well, I think, you know, some of the straightforward things that people would say are listen and network and take breaks and smell the roses for inspiration, but... Really, something that served me well all the way back to my customer service days is to remember that no task or no work in the MarCom field in marketing communications is beneath you.
Mm-hmm.
And to try everything because you will learn something, right? Labeling envelopes showed me what my customer will experience in their hands when they receive my mailing, right? Proofreading somebody else's written piece gave me a perspective on a different way of messaging a story, or standing in an aisle at a trade show, right, and handing out your tchotchkes, your freebies.
Mm-hmm.
It put me face to face, right, with customers who had good, bad, and interesting feedback to offer. And the more experiences and skills that you have across more platforms, I think the more valuable you become. You'll be a better manager,
mm-hmm.
right, of staff, whether they work on web or social, or they're copywriters, or deliver your storyboards, or whatever, work in design, whatever it may be, it'll make you a better manager if you've had your hands on that kind of work. And it doesn't mean that you go out and you learn XML and Java like a pro, or that you understand every bell and whistle in Adobe Creative Suite, but I think to climb in your role and in your career or organization, I think you need to understand not only what's important to your audience, but also understand the people that you work with and work for and those who work for you, right? You're mountaineers down there, right?
Yes, yes, nobody, we are.
Nobody in their right mind climbs alone, right? You don't work alone either. You're a link in a chain, and I think to be effective, you need to understand the link ahead of you and the link behind you and what the whole chain's purpose is. Mm-hmm. Everyone has really important skills and I think really important perspectives that they bring to the table, and you'll value them and evaluate them as a manager better if you've tried and understand them. And I think they'll respect you for it. So my advice is really to take every opportunity to learn something new. Even if you think you won't need it, it's going to teach you something.
That is very good advice. I will definitely, I was like jotting that down a little bit because that was really good. All right, folks, we're going to go ahead and take a short break, but we will return shortly to talk about Bronwyn's current working experiences. So be sure to check back with us. Once again, I'm Anna Dean on the line with Bronwyn Barrera, and you're listening to WGLZ 91.5 FM.
Catch all the hits and all the hype here on the West Liberty Hilltop. You're listening to WGLZ 91.5 FM.
Liberty, welcome back. I'm Anna Dean, and you're listening to WGLZ 91.5 FM. This is a continuation of a distinctive discussion episode for our Passionately Vocal series. Once again, I'm here with communications and marketing strategist Bronwyn Barrera. Before the break, we spoke about her college experiences and her experiences in the communications and marketing field. Now we're moving on to talk about her current jobs and projects with the American Dental Hygiene Association. Let's get started. So, Bronwyn, how did you become interested in working for the ADHA?
Well, I've been in the nonprofit association industry for about 20 years, anything mm-hmm. from medical to math, and now we're in oral health. And there were a few things about the ADHA that kind of piqued my interest. The membership is predominantly female, which is the opposite of what I've worked in. So I really looked forward to that change. And the organization is also smaller. It's a lot more intimate. So everyone's reach within the organization, I think, is a lot broader and very horizontal rather than just kind of in a silo and in your vertical area. Mm-hmm. The staff is super skilled, and we're very tight. And I think, once you're out in the work world, I think that really does make a difference. Even though kind of we're spread across the country, we're very close. And I think it makes a difference. You also get to, I think, a point in your career where you look for opportunities to stretch a different set of skills. And mm-hmm. for me, it wasn't just one more marketing or communications project. It was establishing a department from the ground up, and that's what they brought me in to do. So
that's really cool. It is very neat how it's such a tight-knit community, but it's also a national association at the same time. Like, it's both exactly. at the same time. Just for our listeners, so they have a bit of background information, Bronwyn, like we said, works for the ADHA, which is the American Dental Hygiene Association, which is the basically the United States National Association for Dental Hygienists to advance the profession, basically. They form communities, they do furthering education, and they also form lifelong friendships and help to advance dental hygiene. So it's a very interesting and cool nonprofit organization.
Well said.
So what was the hiring process like for you?
So for me, it was actually the ADHA contacted me. So the association world and those of us, who work in this space, it's a relatively small one. And most staff have worked for one or more association, right? So we take those experiences and we bring them to other organizations.
Right,
also relatively easy to find. So we have phone and video interviews, and then I visit offices in downtown Chicago as well. For my role, and I think it's important for marketing communications, is to offer a portfolio. And that's an important tool to have and to keep up to date, particularly in Marcom. Whether it's a website that you develop and you keep up to date, like WordPress or something, mm-hmm. or a PowerPoint, it shows the best work you've done. You show the problem, how you addressed it, and then the outcome across all the areas of your responsibility. And I also think it's important. I think when you respond to a potential job, particularly one you're really interested in, mm-hmm. I guess yours and other people's advice, that you customize that portfolio or customize your resume to mm-hmm. address the specific requirements of a position. I think any hiring manager can see through kind of a generic spray and pray resume blast.
Yeah.
So it's really important to be responding specifically to the position that you're interested in. So.
Definitely. My professors are always stressing the importance of updating your resume and uploading any projects you may have done. And like you said, creating a website, because that's what I feel like people want to look at nowadays. They want to look at things that are quick and easy to find and see if you're experienced for the job.
Absolutely. Listen to your professors. They are correct.
So what was this experience like compared to past work experiences you had?
So, you know, again, the organization, by way of staff, is a lot smaller,
right?
But that offers a lot more autonomy, I think. EDHA hires professionals who can come in, understand the situation, draw on their experience, and make decisions and act on them. And that also allows us, I think, to move faster when we need to, whereas I think in larger organizations, often decisions can be kind of a process.
Mm-hmm.
I also have my hands on a lot more projects because I had both marketing and communications, whereas in larger organizations, those roles are often split. So I really enjoy being able to integrate those relatively seamlessly.
It is very, like, I feel good, not that I've had a professional job yet, but I feel like it will be good for me in the future to be able to take the skills that I have and try to spread them across different things and, you know, be able to do a bunch of different things at once and multitask.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, what you're doing right now is really part of what we do as well, podcast hosting, for mm-hmm. example. So this is a great experience.
So what kind of projects have you gotten to create and work on? I know you just said podcasts, but is there anything else that you're excited about that you've been doing?
Yeah, so, you know, I came into a situation where there was no department, so my job really was to establish a department, and that it required a lot of foundational work, like developing processes and calendars and promotional plans, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've hired a communication specialist to handle social media, and we're bringing a lot of the work that was handled on the outside because there was no department, we're bringing it in and kind of establishing it in-house. So I came in on the tail end of preparations for the ADHA annual conference. A lot of associations have an annual
yes.
meeting, where, right? The members come together, and that happened mid-year. And, I was just new, so I contributed by developing a lot of scripts for speeches
mm-hmm.
and familiarizing myself with what's going on internally. And now we're starting to develop some programs to lead us into a very exciting next year.
That's really cool. And it's great that you jumped into something and you're already making plans for, like, what's going to happen next and where you want to take the association, you know?
And there's a lot of that is what marketing communications is about. It is
right.
It is planning ahead and having calendars and knowing what the next 6 months look like. And it doesn't mean they'll all be that way, but at least you had a plan A, and that's what you were pursuing.
Mm-hmm. All right. So finally, what has been your favorite part of working for the ADHA so far?
In some medical associations, I think membership is a career expectation, and other professional associations are also credentialing bodies where you practically have to be a member. ADHA membership is entirely voluntary, and what I admire is how very dedicated the members are to their dental hygiene profession.
Mm-hmm.
Elevating overall health through oral health care, through access to oral health care, and really making sure patients and the public get information they need to make informed decisions about their oral health. I think it's incredible how the members give their time and effort at national, state, and local levels, and it comes from the heart. And I think, you know, member dedication is palpable, and that's I really appreciate that about the organization, and it's extraordinary. And it's been going on for 100 years.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Right?
When I found that out, I was like, oh, my goodness. Like, I didn't know that association was that old. But it's crazy that it's lasted so long, and it's still continuing to thrive and grow.
Definitely. A centennial is a very special milestone, so we have a lot of exciting plans for next year.
Well, that's awesome, and I can't wait, you know, to eventually meet you. I'm sure you'll be at the annual conference this year, and I will be as well.
It will be fun, and it'll be in Chicago. So
yes. All right. Well, that is all of the questions that I have for now. Bronwyn, thank you so much for taking the time to share your knowledge and experiences and advice with everyone listening today and with me as well.
Well, thank you, Anna. I really appreciate it. And best to everyone in their pursuit of marketing communications.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks.
This has been an episode of Distinctive Discussion for the Passionately Vocal series. During the episode, Bronwyn and I discussed her journey in the fields of marketing and communications, as well as her current work experiences. Once again, I'm Anna Dean, joined by Bronwyn Barrera, and you're listening to WGLZ 91.5 FM. Let's get back to the music.